Welcome back to another episode of Teeing It Up with CNV. I'm your host, Connor, as always, with my co-hosts for another fine episode during football season. The V, Vladdy, what's going on?
Not much. Have been making I was just telling you before we started, have been making progress at work. I've been complaining a lot over the last 2, 3 weeks and maybe even months about this project that I've been put on and how it's the shit show, and we're finally starting to actually see some of the design work out, which is always it always feels rewarding, but it's just mind-numbing that it's taken this long. Other than that, same old, I guess, waiting for this late summer weather to disappear or not disappear, because I prefer this to the high of 60 and low of 40 that we kind of usually get in September.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy fall weather, but also I am not going to complain about this. And we had our kind of scare of a cold week. And I've kind of had it in my head that that's how September's going to be. That's how I dress for work every day. And then I'm greeted with damn near 80 degrees in the sun, in the evenings. So that's nice. We've got a full episode for you of football. We're going to kind of glance over college football this week and some of the major topics before getting into the NFL. The week that was another fun week in the NFL. Lions get a win. Wins for everybody in the state of Michigan. I'll kind of start with a low-key topic that needs to be mentioned is the Tigers. The Tigers, now with about, I think it's like 14 games or something like that, about 2 weeks left in their season, have a 6.5 game lead. Six of those games are against the team that they had that lead against in the Cleveland Guardians, including tonight. So it's interesting. I feel like with football getting, started here in the month of September, we've kind of lost what the Tigers have done in combination with the fact that they've been kind of pedestrian since like mid-June, basically, maybe even early June. And they have just kind of hung on in a bad division. They're currently losing 1-0 in the third inning. Big set at Comerica this week, so we'll see how they do there. The big news is Tarik Skubal went down on Friday with an oblique injury. They've been very hush-hush on it. They haven't said whether he's going to start on Thursday. And if you're a Tigers fan, you need him to start on Thursday. You need him to get that game. And it's a series you need to take 2 games away, go up to 8.5, and feel pretty good about yourself with only 11 games left and having to play them 3 more times as the season closes out. So that's our Tigers update. We'll kind of move into college football.
I love that pull from you because I don't think the word Tigers has been uttered in maybe 2 months since, like you said, they kind of went on the cool streak post All-Star break and then just kind of got back to playing above average baseball and maintaining the lead they'd built up from the beginning of the season. So I love it.
To college, couple of interesting storylines. I guess we'll start with the teams in Michigan. Not too much to write home about. Michigan State beats Youngstown State 41-24. A worrisome performance by the defense. Well, Aiden Childs has another nice night against a poor opponent, we'll say at best. I think the biggest storyline, not watching a ton of the game, is the defense. You mentioned the pass rush against Boston College. The secondary is also worrisome in multiple spots, and it's a real problem site. And just was another week of it being a problem giving up 24 to an FCS school before you go and play the 11 o'clock at night game at USC that they're 18.5 point dogs right now.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to being awake at 1 in the morning to watch us be down 35-7 or some monstrous shit like that. But you are correct. You can't love giving up 24 points to an SEC or SEC to an FCS school. That's actually borderline heinous. It does build off of the lack of Boston College game, speaking of which Boston College goes out and loses to Stanford, so
Oof.
you really needed to take a team that loses to Stanford to double overtime at home. And I know we don't play the transitive property in sports because styles make fights and matchups, and especially in college where they're kids and things don't travel. But dear Lord, that's ugly. And you mentioned the 18 and a half. It opened at 14. So that
Yes.
thing in 2 days has gone has dropped 4.5 points. I wouldn't be shocked if it gets to 20. And you know what? Like I said, I'm just excited to be there at 1 in the morning, listening to this or watching that stupid shit. Who knows? Maybe the F1 race this weekend is also late because it's in Azerbaijan, and I can just double it up.
And then Michigan rolls against Central 66, 63-3. You kind of get the Bryce Underwood that you're looking for if you're a Michigan fan. I mean, good to see rolling into a road game against what's going to be, I think, a fairly solid Nebraska team that could very well be a one-score game on the road. So.
Agree. If we slightly leave the state, just because I think that this will be a team that'll be debated left, right, and center come November and December. Notre Dame is 0-2. And not just 0-2, these are pretty much the only two games on their schedule that mattered with Miami and Texas A&M. Sure, they'll play USC, and I guess USC can go out and win some games and make that a kind of big matchup where Notre Dame can say, look at us, we've beaten a good team. But you run down the rest of the schedule: Purdue, Arkansas, Mad, Boise State, NC State, Boston College, Navy, Stanford, Syracuse, Pitt. It's just, you can't lose your two biggest games, play a mess schedule, and get into the playoff. But because they're a brand and they're still ranked. I one of my friends who's not as big into sports, he reached out, he's like, can you tell me how a team is winless and in the top 25? And I was like, does this team happen to have golden helmets? And he goes, probably. So this will be a topic in November, December, but this is a team that should be out of it, at least from my standpoint. How about you?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be out of it. Whether they
I
should
agree.
is going to be is up for debate, I think still. We'll see what Texas A&M ends up being, but I mean they've played two pretty competitive games against, I think, Miami, who's one of the teams I was going to talk about it this week, are fairly legit. Like I said, we'll see Texas A&M having to play a full SEC schedule. They always kind of fizzle out of maybe playoff contention towards the end of the season for them. But I think if they can run the table and get that USC win, depending on what USC does, a 10-2 Notre Dame, like it or not,
Oh,
and
they're in. Oh, yeah.
is probably in the playoffs.
Completely agree. I just don't think they should. But like you said, let's let the jury get out on some of these good teams and actually say, hey, are competitive losses to top 10 teams actually worth it? Because you know what? Indiana didn't even have competitive losses to top 10 teams last season. They got blown out in those games and they got to go in. So I guess we get to make the exception for Notre Dame too.
I guess I'll go right into Miami. They kind of end South Florida's, early Storybrooke Cinderella season, 49-12. That line was a take me line at 17, 18 and a half, and then they end up beating them by 35 points or 37 points or whatever it is. They can score on anybody. Carson Beck is looking like an early Heisman candidate favorite in the early parts of the season. I don't think that's irrational to say. And USF, sorry man, like that, what a tough start to the season they had to have. But yeah,
Hey,
that one definitely catches the eye.
they can still be the Group of Five's representation. That's not a conference loss for them. They do still have some, or I guess technically the Florida doesn't really count for much because Florida goes out, lays another egg. DJ Lagway, who I sat here not even a month and a half ago and was like, oh, this guy, he's coming back, and he showed some flashes, and he played for the other team. His offense was always playing 10 on 12 against LSU, but what are you going to
Other stories in college, Clemson, like you mentioned, I guess that was kind of before we started recording. Their season's done. They have the upset loss to Georgia Tech, kind of a trap game I think some people saw coming in the expert world. Just kind of lay another mediocre egg offensively. And they're not back. Like people said, they start off as well, 1-2, a rough start for them.
Yeah, really a tough start for any team I decided to go out on a limb for and support in the preseason. But what are you gonna do? That's why you don't have polls. Don't put any stupid numbers in front of Clemson and get me all excited.
The rest of college football, I guess, kind of the biggest one, Georgia remains kind of dominant against Tennessee. They get the overtime win in Rocky Top on the road. Gunnar Stockton kind of continues to prove against haters, aka me, in getting big wins in SEC games. It's interesting because I haven't exactly been crazy and impressed with their defense thus far. Obviously, it's easy to say that after they give up a 41 spot to, for all intents and purposes, a good team and a team that was probably just under their equal on Friday or Saturday night. But I think Georgia is a little more legit than I think people gave them credit for, even though they're Georgia. Maybe I'm just being dramatic on where I put credit for them, but a nice win. They needed it. I know they don't have as tough of a schedule as some of the SEC schools, so that'll be a big one down the stretch for them.
Yep. I have nothing else for college. It was another kind of weekend where just wasn't able to sit down and watch games and give reactions and analysis. So, unless you're missing something, do we get to the pros?
Yep, to the pros.
Should we start with the Lions because we actually have good things to say about them?
Lions 52, Bears 21. The offense is back. It's yards wise, yards per play wise, the best game in the Dan Campbell era that counts when they had the coordinator who was the head coach across from them. Kind of a statement victory against Ben Johnson, who comes in and makes his debut in Detroit.
I think this was the bounce back that everybody needed. It was borderline therapeutic. Everything that we did when we were rolling the shit teams last year in kind of that September, October time frame, the Tennessee Titans of the world. I think we murdered the Jags. I want to say we kicked the sh or no, I want to say we did kick the shit out of the Cowboys. Just all those games where we were absolutely rolling. You saw everything from there. There was a run game that could get 4, 5, 6, 7 yards per carry. You had over the top bombs to Jameson Williams, who got behind the defense. You had a defensive line that, especially in the second half, and you know what? That yes, when teams are down, they have to pass, so it's easier for you to game plan for that. But they at least got to the quarterback and they made Caleb uncomfortable and they forced him into some lunatic moments that we will talk about. But Jared Goff, I mean, the following stat I'm about to give, I know I verbatim did this a couple times last year. 5 incompletions, 5 touchdowns. Those are the stat lines that we had 3, 4 times last year. Those are the ones we want to see on the offensive side. Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to do what Amon-Ra St. Brown does, which is be a top four wide receiver in the NFL, and no one seems to want to give him credit for that. I have all of my friends fighting me, telling me that Nico Collins is better. I don't know about that one. It was awesome. Loved every second of it, needed every second of it, and now they get to go into Baltimore where maybe we turn around and overreact again after a potentially poor performance, but we'll do that in a week from today.
Yeah, call me pessimistic. I'm not going to overreact on this one in that,
Of
like,
course.
I think the Bears are going to end up being a dumpster fire this season yet again. That defense gave up on Ben Johnson. Well, I guess gave up on their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. So I'm not going to crazy overreact. And I mean, yeah. I'm not getting ahead of myself right now. The schedule is still the schedule, like I said. And I mean, we saw what the Packers did on Thursday night, that they're going to be very legit. That's who you lost to. But I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself. It'll be a we'll see thing. The Bengals. The Ravens are every bit real, and you're going to play them at their place in a primetime game. So I would like to see you, because I think you mentioned it. And all those blowout games, what was common of last year is those were all terrible teams. The Titans were terrible teams. The Cowboys were a terrible team. I forget the other ones that you mentioned.
I think it was the Jags. I think we
And the
killed them.
Jags, correct. And you mentioned, I just said that the Bears are going to be a terrible team this year. I want to see you go and win those big games, because last year, yeah, you were 15-2, but you didn't win some of those games that really mattered down the stretch against good teams. And then you lost your first playoff game. So I want to see them play well against a good team. Maybe not even win Monday night, but not lay a complete egg like they did in week one.
I apologize if my voice can fade that I'm suddenly sitting here planning a parade down Woodward. I'm not saying that's happening, but it was just nice to see. I mean, we haven't mentioned Isaac Tesla yet. Do you think there's a person in NFL history who's had a better first and second catch than that guy?
No, yeah, two catches, two, yes, yeah, top
And
10 plays.
only two hands.
Yeah.
So that was insane. The other thing you mentioned with the schedule, and I'll get to some of this later on, but the Bengals suddenly looks a little better. Now, not that we ever wrote this off as some surefire loss the way maybe we view an Eagles or a Ravens game, but Joe Burrow suddenly out.
Yes, yep.
So you can sit there, turn around, and get yourself into a position where I think we're going to be, if it lines up, I think 3-2, if not 4-1, if you want to do some crazy shit in Baltimore, is very realistic again going into the Kansas City game. So that's a good break in our favor. And anything else about the lines before we get to maybe Caleb and the Bears, because I do think there's stuff worth mentioning there.
No, yeah, we can talk about the Bears.
I guess I'll lead off with, do you remember when Caleb Williams got drafted and he told his other draft class E punter, don't worry, we're not going to be doing too much punting?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've led the league since the beginning of last season in punts.
And believe it or not, I'm gonna say this before you get into the rant. I actually thought this is one of the best he's looked, as sad as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to be a rant, me just shitting on it. I was going to say the offensive line that he had was putrid. And now if you want to say sometimes his first instinct is to extend plays and that makes it easier for people to chase him, sure, obviously everyone can take a page out of Aaron Rodgers' book and just spike it into the ground the second it starts to break down, but some people just aren't wired like that. They had the athleticism in high school and college to be able to extend every play known to man, and it's hard to get that instinct out of them. But you mentioned it there. He had a couple of great scrambles where he got away from pressure and turned it into some plays with his runs. He was able to find Rome Odunze down the field on kind of these scramble drills that maybe you used to see Mahomes and Kelsey do so well. And Rome caught a couple of them, let a couple others slip. And then there was obviously the ugly where he threw one of the most boneheaded interceptions to Kirby Joseph that I think we've ever seen, where once again it begins with him trying his best to extend a play, eluding Aiden Hutchinson, running up to his right, and launching a ball that, technically speaking, there was kind of a window for the receiver that he thought he was going to throw it to. The problem was the ball sailed about 18 to 20 yards over that receiver's head. And I'll give Kirby Joseph a lot of credit. That wasn't some practice squad, you're catching a punt interception.
No.
He's running for the end zone. He's running for the sideline. Incredible dive, I think it was a knee down to before he slid out of bounds. That's one of those things where camera right away pans over to Ben Johnson. He's staring at him like, what is this kid doing? And if there's just there is a lot that Bears team needs to figure out, and it's going to begin with getting the happy feet out of Caleb, because even on times where he wasn't pressured, he's still missing some open throws, sailing passes over receivers' heads. It's going to start there. You mentioned the defense quitting. I'm pretty sure they lost their best corner, Jalen Johnson, about 8 plays into that game, and he was already banged up going into it, and now he's been sidelined indefinitely. So they've got some things to get right personnel-wise. They've got some things to get right effort-wise. They've got some things to get right game planning-wise to actually be able to play a full game, because they started decently enough. It was 21-14 with us driving down, and nice catch and some crazy clock stipulations go. Maybe things bounce the other way, and suddenly it's 21-14. Bears get the ball outside of half. They bounce our way. We get the clock stoppage slash it shouldn't have been 10 second runoff, though, that weird stuff. And suddenly it's 28-14, and Chicago just never recovered in that second half. They sat there like deer in headlights. That's the line.
Yeah, we can kind of go in order. I mean, there's only the Thursday night game if you wanted to add anything to that.
No.
Packers kind of
Caleb.
dominated each touchdowns, made it a one score, 9 points, so I guess a two score game. Yeah, I don't really have anything on that one either. In the 1 o'clock slate.
Jags
Which
Bengals.
also, this way too many games in the 1 o'clock slate for there to only be three in the 4 o'clock.
I do hate when they do
Never
that, and I think Jags Bengals just for the injury, and we kind of quickly brought it up. Jake Browning does what Jake Browning does, which is be a very, very serviceable NFL backup level quarterback. Joe Burrow is out for 3 months, and the difference, I guess, for the Bengals this time around versus the last 5, 6 years is that they're at least 2-0 now. I was reading, and obviously everyone likes to talk about the Bengals' slow start. I didn't realize it was as bad as I'm about to read. I don't know if you saw this, but over the past 6 years, so 24 to I think 19, basically whenever Zach Taylor was their head coach, they had only won one week one or two games. So they were 1-11 in weeks one and two for 6 years.
Yeah, I didn't know it kind of went to that extent, but.
Same. Like, obviously, the narrative's always there. It's, oh, they play their way out in September. I didn't know it was quite that bad. So, from a Bengals perspective, Burrow's not out for the season, and you have a
But
serviceable backup, and you've started 2-0, but they're going to be pedaling uphill for a while, trying to scrape some games by.
I mean, 3 months, he is more or less out for the vast majority of the season.
Yeah.
I guess that's still like Chris. I guess there's he's probably there for the last, what, 3 games?
Yeah, I guess I forget how short or how quick these seasons fly by, and I'm like, oh, maybe he comes back in middle of December, but then you're in the playoffs by the second week of January, so fair enough.
Yeah, I just like for me, it's like my first thought was like, when do we start to, and maybe we do, and I just don't pay attention enough to start to talk about Burrow. It's just not being part of that core, I don't know, four or five guys at the top because he is so injury prone. I mean, this is going to be what, year three out of
Five.
five that he's had damn near a season ending injury, missing about half or more of the season. So
I'm absolutely okay with doing that. The last thing that I thought was interesting, and just because I did have this game on kind of on a second screen, is the Bengals offense almost seems to get more creative when Burrow goes out. And I'm not going to say better or worse. I just think that some of the passes you start to see thrown and some of the routes you start to see in some of the play calls, it almost seems like Zach Taylor just wakes up and realizes, oh, now that the quarterback I have isn't a top five quarterback, I need to actually run an offense with a plan, with ebbs and flows of I run this play to set this play up later. And it seems to move more with Browning, and I thought that was interesting, and I'm curious to kind of see how that continues.
I'm curious to see what they do, and if they, I know Browning is kind of regarded as, a good backup, but if they go hunting for a couple of names that are out there right now.
And I think they already have. I read that Jameis, they called about Jameis. I read they called about Malik Willis with the Packers.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's just, I think for them, it's just giving themselves options of, hey, can we go for the hot hand versus a designated backup? But yeah, like I said, it's just on the bright side for the Bengals. They're 2-0 this time. They're not 1-1 or 0-2, and they can at least say, you know what, we scrape three or four wins out of these next 10 games, and maybe we can sit there and give ourselves a chance when our quarterback is healthy again. Giants Cowboys, was that a 1 o'clock game? I kind of forget which ones were when, because like you said,
Yeah,
all
by assumption, I'll say yes. Yeah, that's what I'll give a compliment to the NFL for 2 weeks is that not, I mean, obviously you had some the thrillers of like Bills, Ravens at the top of good teams, but some of the bad teams have played some very good, and I'm not even going to call the Cowboys bad yet, but some of the not as top of the league teams, for lack of a better way to put it, have played some pretty good games, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, this game was funny. I don't know if you saw how it started on the very first drive. James Hudson, a tackle for or a backup tackle for the Giants, who I think plays in place of Andrew Thomas, got called for four penalties on the same drive, which is
This, yeah.
apparently an NFL record. No one had ever done that before. One of them was kind of entertaining because he literally just basically throws a punch at the dude's helmet. And it's like people are like, this is a new way to play offensive line. So it started there. And it just never really just ended. You had Russell Wilson turning back the clock, throwing for what was it, 400 yards. And I understand, oh, you know, Deron Bland didn't play, and it's a bad secondary, and Micah Parsons isn't there anymore to cause quick bad throws when you're off pocket. But Russell Wilson for 400 yards in 2025, I mean, that's brutal. Malik Nabers made some just circus catches. The Cowboys, every time you thought, oh, you know, they've got it, then they would do something stupid on defense. You're like, oh, now the Giants have it, and then they turn into the last drive of basically the we'll say the last couple drives where Nabers catches kind of that moon ball from Russ, and you're like, oh, they've done it. There's 30 seconds left, and this and that, and then Nabers is hitting the night-night celebration that Steph loves to do. Unfortunately for Mr. Malik, this one was a little premature. The Cowboys on the ensuing drive decide to settle for a 64-yard field goal that honestly could have been good from 75. It crossed the line and it was halfway up the post still. It hit the net from 64 plus.
Is he the best player at his position in the sport right now?
I think you can maybe make an argument for a Josh Allen being the
Okay.
best at that level, but yes, I was actually going to go with even further is at what point does he get up to greatest of all time status? And I understand that there's going to be a little bit of placebo because Mr. Touchy in Baltimore decided to become a bad human being. So there's always going to be that stain, and people are always going to want to detract from what he did for so long. But another fun stat about Brandon Aubrey is that he has made two field goals from 64 plus in his career. The rest of the NFL in history, not the NFL currently, the rest of NFL history has only made two. He is an absolute cheat code that you can, and because like they settled, they were sitting at their 50-yard line or whatever it was, and they ran the ball. They didn't try to go get 15 more yards to try and give Cairo Santos, who's got a peanut leg, a chance to hit from 55. They sat there, ran the ball, and said, screw it, we're not going to risk a sack. We trust
Right.
our kicker. That's insanity that you can get to the 50-yard line and be comfortable to kick a field goal. So
Completely changes what you're trying to do.
yeah, no, and especially now that you're dropping kickoffs, if you kick it into the end zone, it comes up to the 35, sometimes the 40, depending on what you do. You get 7 yards and you're in field goal range. That's insanity.
Yeah.
And then obviously the overtime was just boneheaded play after boneheaded play, and
Got down to zero.
it did get down to zero.
And somehow the Lions game was still just as long.
you're not wrong. Yeah, that it was just it's something about the way those two teams always play each other with some dumb shit happening.
Yeah.
Entertaining game, and like you said, this is a prime example of the teams that are supposed to be bad also being competitive. Another one of those teams that I don't think we have to break it down just as much, but the Dolphins play a very entertaining game with the Patriots. The Dolphins actually look like they have life after
Yeah.
one of the worst performances anyone's ever seen. You had the little punt return followed by kick return combo where Mike Vrabel's running down the sideline after Antonio Gibson. Just entertaining games everywhere. I mean, 49ers Saints. 49ers with no players healthy, the Saints with no players anybody gives a damn about, and they play a game that goes back and forth.
Yeah, I'll give them this. Through two games, they play like they don't just. They're not a quit team yet,
Yes.
like you get sometimes.
Yes. No, I mean, you want to keep going about bad teams? Panthers, Cardinals. Cardinals, for some reason, Cardinals go up very quickly, very early with two Bryce Young turnovers, one forced, one unforced. And you're looking at, I think it was like 27-6 or 27-9, some lunacy like that. And the Cardinals take their foot off the gas. They let the Panthers back in, and before you blink and know it, the Panthers are at the 40-yard line with zero with 5, 10 seconds left, potentially operating a Hail Mary. It's just The NFL has this very unique way of just all these guys. It's such a compact league. The way it's designed for parity is awesome, and any given Sunday is a statement for a reason.
Are the Arizona Cardinals, if you had to name a 2-0 team right now that was not going to make the playoffs, I would bet every single dollar I own and am going to own in my life on the Cardinals being that team.
Let me see which other 2-0 teams there are, but based on the way the
Let me
league
read
works.
them to you. I'll read them to you. I have them right here.
Can I say Cincinnati? They don't have a quarterback.
Okay, yeah, all right, fair,
Other
fair.
than that, though, yeah, probably. Because, I mean, San Francisco's not great either. Because again, they
Maybe the
always get hurt.
Colts.
I think the Colts can get in just because how bad their division is. I think they can straight up win it.
Yeah.
And we can get to that division. We can get to some of those other games. But well, you know what? We are talking about the Colts. Let's talk Colts Broncos because, once again, this is an entertaining game, but this was between teams we associate with average or above average or maybe even good in the Broncos case. Daniel Jones is the first player in NFL history to go the first 2 weeks of the season as a quarterback without needing to punt. That's
That's
kind of
crazy.
unique. And there will be a comparison with him and a different quarterback in a different game later, but that was wildly entertaining. This game was crack. Jonathan Taylor kind of looking back to vintage Jonathan Taylor after a couple of injury plagued years. You have the Colts kind of ending up with a 60-yard field goal for the win right after the Broncos missed a field goal of their own and doinked one. And it's not Brandon Aubrey kicking, so you're not as confident, and the kicker pushed it right away, and I don't even think he got it the 6 yards. I want to say that thing fell in the end zone. And then you think, oh my God, game's over. You can kind of see out of the corner of your eye the Colts mascot, who's hilarious, just flop on the ground like a dead fish. And then you hear, I think it was Kevin Harlan might have been on call, there's a flag, and there's a flag, it's not over yet, as if it's March Madness. And they call a leverage penalty, which I'm not sure I've heard of that in the last 4 or 5 years, but Colts get 15 yards, untimed down, chip shot field goal from 45 right through the middle, and they beat the Broncos.
And my stat that I was going to read off to you is, if you had to guess who the two passing leaders are in the NFL through 2 weeks, who would be your guess?
Daniel Jones won just because he hasn't punted.
He's number two.
Oh, okay. It's not Russ, is it, after that 400 yards?
Russell Wilson,
Oh my.
618 yards. He leads
Yeah.
by 20, he leads by 30 yards or 20, 20 yards, 25 yards.
That's comical. I think maybe part of that can be attributed to the fact that the Bills kicked the shit out of the Jets and they didn't really need to play a second half. So Josh Allen
Yeah.
shut down, but that's very impressive. That's very funny as well, though. Russell Wilson and Big 2025 lead in the league in stats. Anything else? So I think the next game I want to bring up is Eagles Chiefs, because I think I have rants about a certain play that gets worse and worse every single week.
Yeah, and it's I think it's I think like I think we sat here last week and I said the same thing of how I've defended the play, and every single week I've been more and more willing to listen to the rant on the play as
Yeah.
the season goes on.
I guess we'll start there just because we're talking about it. I'm done with the tush push. Dean Blandino's done with the tush push. The
Yes.
referees apparently have never started with the tush push because they do not officiate it at all. And I will be fair, it is both teams who cheat. Now, you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, all of their defensive linemen are lining up in the neutral zone. All of the Eagles' offensive linemen are lining up offsides. On multiple occasions, three or four of the five offensive linemen, so everybody that's not the center from the Eagles, jumping forward before the ball gets snapped. And it's like, it's absolute nonsense. I've yelled about it before about how it's not a football play because it's rugby. It is literally a scrum. I've yelled how it's not fair that if the offense is allowed to push their quarterback, the defense should be allowed to push their defensive tackles. But for some reason, the league won't do that for player safety. It's absolute nonsense. They do not. If you wanted to start officiating it, maybe I would hate it slightly less. I'd still claim it's not a football play, but at least I would appreciate the fact that you throw flags and enforce your own rules. Yeah, that's that. I think from the actual football side, the Kansas City Chiefs have a very, very bad offense, and that's
Yeah.
full stop.
I wouldn't go that far. They're gonna get healthy.
Oh yes, I'm just saying right now. Obviously, you never plan for Worthy's shoulder to get separated. The Rashee Rice thing, you knew. And did
Sure.
you see them wearing those free
Yeah,
form boots?
unbelievably crazy. The guy basically killed somebody going
Yeah.
150 miles an hour.
He was charged with 8 felonies, pled it down to 2, and they're somehow sitting here wearing shirts like he got popped for gambling
Yeah.
on a different sport, but nonetheless, not just his own sport, or Josh Gordon smoking a little bit of weed back in the day.
Right.
That I don't understand how you could possibly consider that. So that's wild. But I was gonna say, this was my comparison for earlier. It's crazy that Daniel Jones is 2-0 and has not punted. And Patrick Mahomes is 0-2 and is probably the best running back on his own team right now. And
Yep.
his receivers are awful. Travis Kelce's awful. He had a awful drop that led to a Philadelphia pick, which completely changed the game as Kansas City was at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Did he
Yeah.
make that catch? And it's pathetic. I was asking this question to a couple friends, and I guess I'll ask it to you live now, which will be nice to get your idea, but without Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, do we think the Kansas City Chiefs have like a bottom five skill position group in the league? Because I think they do.
Does Patrick Mahomes count as the
No,
quarterback position?
like I say, like outside of him, with like his like the who you throw to, who you run with. His, I think the Saints and the Titans are probably worse.
Yeah.
I think the Browns are comparable.
I would, yeah. I mean, who even is the Browns running back right now
They
besides
have Judkins
Judkins?
back.
Okay, so it's Judkins, okay.
But at least with the Browns, I think you can say, you know what, Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman give you a little bit more than
I
a
was gonna say
Hollywood Brown.
Judy, yeah.
Not by much, but I think they give you a little more than a Hollywood Brown and Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, and Tyquan Thornton missed some deep ones down there. He had the
He
big
did
one.
have the nuke, yep, in garbage time. But I just think, and Travis Kelce himself, you know. In years past, I think I defended it, where it was like, you know what, his standard was so high for so long that we saw him fall a little bit and we say, oh, he's washed, but washed for him is still top three in the league. Can't say that anymore. He doesn't
So
catch.
I actually thought he was playing well until that interception, and that's just not a play that a prime Travis Kelce makes.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the last thing I wanted to say there, and I think this is where I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for the guy, because how do I feel bad for someone who's got as many Super Bowl wins as amount of quarterbacks he's lost to in the playoffs? But I love seeing Mahomes in post-game press conferences get up there and put the blame on nobody but himself. I'm not even saying just to like say, oh, like throw the teammate under the bus, but maybe just say, oh, like it didn't work out this time. Every single time there's a mistake, like you look at him talk about the Kelce thing. He doesn't say, oh, you know, execution or Travis has got to do better. He says, I threw it low, I threw it late, I did this. There is, forget about just blaming the others. There's never even deflection of blame from Patrick Mahomes. Everything goes straight to him. He takes it on ownership, and I think I love seeing that from him. Again, it's not a vote of sympathy, because fuck that guy for how much he wins and how good he is, but it is cool to see. Not many people are that willing to take up all of the blame.
Yeah, I kind of want to go in that game next on the Eagles side. Is they got the win, and as much as Chris Jones was being a little petty at the end, that's an offense that hasn't looked good for
Nope.
3 out of 4 halves to start the season, essentially. They're going to be fine. They're going to be scary. People are already kind of course, it's Philly doing this, but people are already kind of doing the. Even though they're 2-0 too, doing the 1 year on, 1 year off with the offensive coordinator thing is this is the off year after a good year last year, and then obviously the mess up year in between the two Super Bowl appearances. But that is something I'm surprised at by the Eagles so far, and it hasn't bit them yet against two solid opponents in the Cowboys and the Chiefs, but something to look for moving forward. And Jalen Hurts on the Chris Jones side is. It's funny because Jalen Hurts, and no one's ever asked him to be this guy, doesn't need to be the guy. guy to throw for 350 yards to win, he's got to be the guy that he was on Sunday to win. Was.
I think after that, I was gonna met oh, entertaining stat that I'm in my notes now, just about Saints 49ers, and this is more of an Alvin Kamara stat. I don't know if you saw this, but Alvin Kamara has 7 career fumbles in the almost 10 years that he's played in the league. 4 of those 7 have been against the San Francisco 49ers.
Four of those seven. Yeah,
Like,
that is an interesting
that
stat.
means doesn't mean much, doesn't make him bad. It's just you got 7 in a career, which is not bad. That's what, one fumble a season, maybe a little less. It just always happens to be against one team. I thought that's unique.
Wonder what that is. That's almost more than just like a freak stat. It's like they have something on the way he carries the ball or something.
He owes him money or something. He always
Something
drops
like that.
against them. I think on the Monday night or the Monday night games, I don't have much to say about Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday
Vikings.
night, the field goal fest you're talking about.
Yeah, that whatever, man. I guess
I'll
JJ
say this,
McCarthy's hurt.
I think the Falcons are a good defense, and I think Penix is going to kind of figure it out and have some growing pains as the season goes on. And I think them and the Bucs is going to be a fun finish to that division.
Agree. It's a division we like to make fun of every single season in the lead up, but I do agree that I think it will be neck and neck for them. I think Bucks Texans, you can say the Texans offensive line is Swiss cheese. Stroud's out there running for his life. I think we both said this in the offseason. I'm not sure how you can take something that was very bad last season, decide to strip it down even further, add nothing to it and expect it to get better. I think the Texans are in a lot of trouble if they cannot keep him in the pocket and throwing to his receivers on time. On the flip side, is Baker Mayfield underrated at this point?
No, not at all. I think he is like where he is a legit top 10 quarterback, like, and people recognize it now. And the guy is like, he has his moments in games where you go, what the heck is this guy doing? But when the game's on the line, I mean, that play he made to extend the run on fourth and 10 there, I know he was like kind of trying to go to the sidelines, but takes the goofiest hit ever, and he gets pounded. He takes some hard hits, and he gets up from all of them. He's a gamer, and I don't know. I like you said, I don't think you can call him overrated. I think in my mind, at least, he's right there, and I know we know what he is at this point.
I guess maybe the question is how high up can he climb up that kind of leaderboard? Is this, I mean, hey, if we're dropping Joe Burrow down, someone's got to come up. Maybe it'll be Justin Herbert finally winning some games. Maybe it'll be Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
No, I would say that you mentioned, I think this is the scramble I'm about to talk to where he takes off for the sideline but decides to cut it back in, kind of hits the ground in an awkward way, and you think he's hurt. And then CJ Gardner-Johnson gets within about 3 feet of him and clearly says something because Baker just gets right up. The injury's
Yeah.
suddenly gone and he's staring at him. He's talking. You see the lips moving, saying some magic words. Baker's hilarious, man. He's absolutely hilarious.
On fourth and 10, like, and you could talk about Todd Bowles. That was an un-Todd Bowles thing to go for. I actually kind of thought they shouldn't go for it. They had all three timeouts, and I think it was like 140 or 50 left on the clock, but it worked out.
I mean, I think he's in the perfect spot, and this next point will lead into where I was going to go is they've invested in him, they've cared about him. You
Yeah.
don't have Odell Beckham's dad talking shit on the sideline. You don't have the Browns coaching staff throwing him in with a separated shoulder to the Wolves just so he can get hurt and discarded. He gets invested in. Emeka Egbuka has absolutely shown in his role without Chris Godwin as that kind of intermediate receiver. He actually leads the league in receiving, or he's tied for the league lead in receiving touchdowns with 3. He makes these great plays, and the Bucs haven't even had Tristan Wirfs play yet. They're 2-0, and they're a good football team. If you run it Vita Vea, he's like a black hole. He'll just swallow your running back. It doesn't matter if he's getting blocked by one, two, three guys. Like, his hands find your running back and your running back falls down. They're a good football team. Raiders, Chargers. I think the only thing I have to say about this is why do we have a double Monday night game? Like,
Well, like I thought, like I didn't realize that the Bucks game was on till like almost halftime because I was waiting for 8:20.
yep.
So, and I it was super nice as someone that doesn't really ever stay up for the late game. I'm kind of just first half and out to have the game end at 10 o'clock when I was ready to go to bed. But I would have almost rather having two games to watch at that like maybe a staggered 8:30 slot instead of the 7 and then the 10 o'clock start.
Or, and I think this was based off a point you made earlier, why don't you move it to 425 and give us another football game then? Like, I
There's like
understand.
4 or 5 of these weeks this year, though, that they're doing this.
Oh my God. Like, I understand that it's the beginning of the season, you want to give as many prime time games as possible, but like you said, it's one thing to start a game at 8 and by 11:30, maybe it's finished. And like for some people on the East Coast, that works. Maybe for you it doesn't, but kicking a game off at 10, come on.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
I also think the novelty of the standalone games is enough in the
Correct.
NFL case.
Correct. It does lose a little bit of allure if you have two of them on a Monday. Also, Sunday night football and that kind of game, I think that works because you didn't do anything all day. It was a weekday or it was a weekend.
Right.
You're coming home from work. You've gone to the gym. People can't stay. I didn't stay up very late till I might have seen three series, and then I just passed out. And I'm usually one of the latest people that, or the biggest night owls that exist. So I just no more double Monday night games, please, guys. Let's leave those for give Connor an extra 4 o'clock window game just so he can
Yeah.
watch.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Yeah, no, that was, I think we covered almost every, at least touched on almost everything NFL.
Yeah, except for was there any games that weren't worth mentioning? Ravens Browns, we didn't mention that. Cool. They get a shout out too. Derrick Henry didn't do anything. How do you score 41 points and Derrick Henry don't have a touchdown?
The only other one, Rams Titans. That was a blowout. Rams offense clicked this week. They look really good.
That's it. I think we hit all 16 games in
Yeah.
some capacity or another. Obviously, there's always going to be storylines that are worth mentioning, and then there's just going to be duds not worth
Oh, in that
mentioning.
Rams game, did you see the Cam Ward play?
Yeah, he throws it across his body.
Is that a good play?
I'm going to have to say yes because it worked out, but if it doesn't work out, I'm looking at you like Caleb Williams. It's like, come on, man, what are you doing? Take the
Yeah.
incompletion. Don't take and he was 30 yards behind the line of
I know.
scrimmage at that point, too.
I have a weird thing, and he's gonna have his growing pains, and this whole season for the Titans is literally just figure out if he's the guy. It's not necessarily winning football games.
Yep.
I'm a believer. That's my hot take so far.
Sure. Your hot take is that the number one overall pick's good at football. That's a crazy hot
It's
take.
I don't know. Well, we've had these let's go through these number one overall pick quarterbacks.
I'm not attacking you. I'm just making fun of the situation you described because you are correct if you break it down where you think, oh, number one pick has to change franchise. No, usually number one pick gets thrown into dumpster fire situation that torpedoes number one pick because dumpster fire situation is accompanied by dumpster fire organization. I'm with you, man. How's Sam Bradford doing?
Here's the complete list.
Oh, God.
Okay. 2024, Caleb Williams. 23, Bryce Young. 21, Trevor Lawrence. Oh, no. 2020, Joe Burrow. Okay. 2019, Kyler Murray. 2018, Baker Mayfield. Took him 7 years, but he's there. 2016, Goff.
He had to get run out of town before he could figure something out.
Yeah. Jameis Winston, I would say, is a no.
Probably a no is a number one pick. Agree.
Then you go 3 years and it's Andrew Luck.
He was pretty good until his situation was so bad he decided to
Then
retire.
you kind of went hot. You kind of went hot here. You went 3 for 4. Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, then you had Bradford, and then Stafford.
That's fair.
And then Jamarcus Russell, the famous one in
Oh,
07.
dear Lord.
Alex Smith in 05.
I think that counts as a hit.
Yeah, Eli in 04. Carson Palmer in 03.
Those were all right.
Yep, David Carr in 02. I think he was okay for
He's all
maybe.
right for an extended period of time as an expansion
And
franchise.
then the last one in the 21st century, Michael Vick, 2001.
He was pretty good when he wasn't abusing animals.
Yeah. So I would argue that's damn near a 50-50 chance at a
Yep.
true number one franchise quarterback.
I would agree with this. I've got nothing else. That was a pretty good rant or a good little rambling session. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Yeah. That just got I got a thought and wanted to see like the actual list of
You
names.
thought I called you out. I was just making fun of the way you described it if you strip it all away and look at it from a face value
Yeah.
statement.
Yeah, but like we talked about Caleb Williams being a complete dumpster fire a
Yep.
year and a half after he was a
Agree completely. Yeah. So if you made it this far, thank you. I will leave everyone off with a go Lions for the team that got back on track this week.
And I'll cover our other team, Michigan State. Go Green if you're going to stay up for it. I would imagine I do not, but go Green.